Needs. That's what we talk about next here on Fesco and Dusty. Damn glad to have you on a Monday morning.
Hope everybody's doing good. It's, we were just talking about it. It's still dark. Like, the sun doesn't come up for another 32 minutes right now. 7:34 sunrise now. I don't like it.
Chiefs go down to San Francisco, or go west to San Francisco, I should say. Collect the victory on the road. Wins are wins. Stack them while you can. We'll get into a hypothetical a little bit later on what they need. But Watson,
yes!
Goes down yesterday.
Right.
Jaden Hicks, love that interception.
How about that?
Love that kid. Think he's going to be something special. Another Veach find in the secondary.
Yep. And then somebody named Chris Roland Wallace as well yesterday.
Better believe it.
CRW, baby.
Rolling in picks.
Whew.
But the opposite of what I thought would be yesterday is, we'll get into the script as well, as I allude to that. I got one thing right, which is I think I got two things right. The win, and I think there were actually seven targets that Patrick Mahomes hit in the passing game. So,
hey, Yahtzee, nice.
This show will win you money. But the team is 6-0. The AFC West is all, but I know Denver's hanging around, but you'll play them in a couple weeks. That topic for another day. But wide receiver need is to me is an issue. I think they need to go get somebody. I'm sorry. I just, the car is, there's too many dummy O lights on in the car, like low oil, windshield wiper fluids out. Air's a little low in the back rear tire. Mm-hmm. Eventually, that tire is going to blow, and you're going to be in a situation like I was yesterday, where my battery died right at 10 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, there are signs that's like giving you indication that could happen. Receiver goes down, corner goes down. Now you kind of have an issue where it's like the team has been affected on injuries only on the offensive side. Right. Yesterday was the first time this year where a defensive guy went down, and now you might be with a third-string cornerback in your secondary.
But the one thing that this organization seemingly has done well over the last, I don't know, 5, 7, 8 years is replace defensive backs, right? You saw, I'm sure, Various Ward leave. You saw Legarius Sneed leave. And the next guy seemingly always steps up. Now mm-hmm. the next guy is hurt, right? In Jalen Watson. So can you manage with Hicks? Can you manage
Watson,
with CRW,
yes!
and guys that filled in yesterday? Or now does this become a bigger need? And does it become a bigger need than the wide receiver? Again, you know, you got to factor it in almost like your household budget, right? Each month, you got $4 million still left to spend for the rest of the year. Do you need to spend that money on offense, or do you need to spend that money on defense? Now, there's a way you can go out and obviously spend that money on both sides of the ball, and it's not acquiring anybody, you know, that's making any money at this point in time, and you may end up having to do that. But I think right now you may want to look for some defensive back help as you're scouring the wide receiver, mm-hmm. you know, market. You may want to go out there and start looking for a little defensive back help from a depth standpoint at this point in time, because losing Jalen Watson, that's a big loss, and it looks like broken ankle. He's probably done for, you know, a considerable amount of time. Andy Reid even said so yesterday, you know, in his post-game press conference, that, you know, we're probably not going to see Jalen Watson for a good period of time. And so now you have to start to wonder, does that become a bigger need for the Chiefs? And the quote was, I think Jalen will be out long-term, Reid said. We think, I mean, I'll see what the MRI says, but I don't think that's going to be great news. And so he left on crutches yesterday and whatnot out of the locker room. So you have to decide for yourself. And you may have a different, you know, kind of way of viewing it than I do, and Mac and Veach and all these guys. Do you consider defensive back now a bigger need than wide receiver? And I will say yes, for one reason and one reason only. Patrick Mahomes isn't on the defensive side of the football, and he does a really nice job of making everybody better around him. They may have to look for defensive back before they look for wide receiver and just say, sorry, Patrick, you do such a good job with everybody on offense. We're going to need some help on defense right now.
Mac, where's your heart tell you? Because I think it's receiver.
Yeah, I'd agree.
And I mean, I understand, like, and the reason it's receiver is because I'm defending everything that you just said. Mm-hmm. They won a Super Bowl with, like, rookie secondaries.
Right.
Right? Like,
yep.
You know, like, I know McDuffie, the play he had on the sideline yesterday where he just knocked the ball.
Oh, my God. Out of Conley's hand. That was just, that was savage.
Which is, it's, by the way, real quickly, it's such a bittersweet situation for me with Trent McDuffie, because I want to see him make great plays, but I don't get it enough because nobody wants to challenge him. And then yesterday when they did down the sideline, they had that little jump ball, like whatever you want to call it, and then he just ripped it out and it just stood there. It's like, this is the business I stand on.
Right.
You don't come to my side of the field.
Right. And that was it. They tried him one time and moved on.
And I think that when you look at the situation that you bring up, like, they've always seemingly been able to like, fill that need on their own roster.
They've
with
done
defense.
A good job. Right? Yeah, really
like,
good. Yep.
When Justin Reed wasn't in, Brian Cook was leaned on. Now, granted, high draft pick was supposed to be good and it's going to be the future at safety when Justin Reed is eventually done.
Right.
And you look at them when they won the Super Bowl a couple years ago, they had young rookies playing and fulfilling that role. And to be fair, they had played 25 weeks their entire career and they were getting ready to play the three biggest weeks of their entire NFL career and handle business.
Right. They did.
You're more injured on offense than you are on defense.
No doubt.
And what's made their secondary, I think, great is because of that defensive front. That defensive front causes quarterbacks to scramble, causes quarterbacks to think quicker, which your defensive line gives your secondary a boost because they don't have to cover as long. And when they do cover long, it gives your deep, they're just hand in hand. They're a great component to each other. And this is the first real big injury on the defensive side. I think maybe I'm missing something. I could be wrong, but this is something where I think when it comes to receiver, like you're down wide receiver 1, 2, and 3, and you're down RB 1. Kareem Hunt has been fantastic, but you're down 1, 2, 3 receivers. You're down one corner. So the addition to me should be the receiver position because I think Mahomes does need somebody else.
Yeah.
And, you can talk about how Mahomes has been, meh this year, hasn't been great. But he can only run like that. I don't want to see him run like that very often.
God, no, right? No. It was great, but
cool
we don't need that.
It's right, cool to see him truck a guy in the end zone and stand over his limp body, which...
Sorry,
that's
Mustafa.
The game. That's the game. That's going to happen to a Chiefs player. That's going to happen to a Ravens player. Whoever gets trucked, that's the initial reaction.
Mustafa wasn't king of anything that night, I'll tell you.
And everything the light touches is ours.
Yeah, I just can't wait to be... Oh, God, I just got blown up by Mahomes.
That's right. And I think in my opinion...
Can you feel the love tonight? No.
No. To me, the biggest part of the additions they need is a wide receiver because... Yeah, Mahomes doesn't need as many weapons as everybody else, but he can't have any weapons. And like Max said, Samaje Perine lined up in the slot. Kareem Hunt lined up in the slot. Sky Moore having to go out there. It's like, do you want to see 24 go out there and drop another pass?
Not really, no.
Or would you rather see a guy like Deontay Johnson, Slayton.
Very Slayton,
And apparently, the text line, helpful as always, MVS working out in New Orleans. Because they're beat up.
Yeah.
And
they're pretty much done for the year, though, too. I was hearing something yesterday. They're pretty much ready to cash it in down
five,
there.
Five losses in a row.
Right, five in a row. Yeah. Chiefs broke them.
Yeah, they're done. Okay. They don't have a quarterback.
No. And so, to me, long, words of language, receivers the addition.
And look, I'm not going to argue that. I think both right now, if you were to go out and acquire a defensive back right now, and somebody suggested to me, our friend Zach Yelba on Infinity Sports Network, he sent me a text yesterday. He goes, I was talking about Minkah Fitzpatrick potentially to the Chiefs last week, and I'm like, that's not a bad addition. Like, if you go out and get somebody at defensive back, you could potentially get better at that spot. Like, I wouldn't care if they went out and added a defensive back. I'm not going to care if they go out and add a wide receiver. I'm here, and if Brett Veach decides we need this, then that's what they need. And if Andy Reid decides we need that, then who am I to argue with the greatest head coach GM combination that maybe we've ever seen in professional sports at this point in time, right? Mm-hmm. So whatever they decide to do, but I think they're going to be looking at both spots this week. I think they're going to be looking at corner, and I think they're definitely going to be looking, at wide receiver, because, now you're looking at a depth chart that has Jaden Hicks as your probably one of your starters, Nazi Johnson going to be in there, the CRW, Chris Roland Wallace, who I'd never heard of until yesterday, Shamari Connor as well, Joshua Williams, who knows where they go with him. So you've got guys on the roster. Maybe they just allow one of them to step up and do focus all of their efforts on that wide receiver spot. But, just looking around and trying to figure out what they want to do, I think they have needs at both of those positions right now. And if they decided to target defensive back, then they decide to target defensive back.
Our injury doctor, Mackenstein.
I hope the Chiefs take a lesson from this and say, hey, you know what? You can save yourself. And we have the season the Chiefs have 6-0. But also, you don't have to. Like, these were two things that I addressed before the season. A lot of people did. The cornerback depth and the wide receiver depth. A lot of people thought they needed to add in both those positions before the year. Well, oh, no, the Chiefs corners are great. They always next man up. And, oh, no, the wide receiver, it's Mahomes. It's fine. The offensive line, it's Mahomes. It's Andy. No, sometimes you actually do need to help your players and your team out. And I thought that the Chiefs could have addressed one of these things before the season. Now they're going to have to address both. I would say wide receiver is by far the biggest need, though. There's no question to me.
No doubt about it.
Coming and Charles Aminu is coming back. The pass rush is going to get a bump up.
Oh, who said we needed to add pass rushers?
Nobody.
Well, that'll help the secondary.
That'll help your secondary.
Right.
That's right. People still falling in love with the old take from Dusty Likens. Go give Tyreek Hill a chance. So go wave a flyer at Tyreek Hill. Hey, look, Kareem Hunt's got a little bit of extra juice because he get another shot at Kansas City. Could you imagine what Tyreek Hill would think if he came here? Boy, it'd be great. Boy, would it be great. Coming up on the other side, Derek Johnson, Chiefs all-time great linebacker, joins Fesco and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
The Chiefs seem to always win because of all the small things.
They focus
they
on
do
that.
Right.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Happy Monday. Don't worry, the sun's still not up.
It's starting to get a little bit lighter out there right
now. I love it. I'm in the minority of this. I think it's awesome when it's dark at 7:30 because I don't feel like a piece of garbage if I'm like, oh, well, it's bedtime.
At night, you mean? Yeah. No.
In the morning, doesn't matter. It's dark every time we come to work anyway.
No, I know. But like in the summertime, you can see the sunlight starting to come up early. And
winter is coming, Bob.
I know. Not a fan. Don't like it. Hate it.
Before we get into Derek Johnson, who will join us here in about 5 minutes, I want to have a conversation again about the confusion that I consistently have with the Coach of the Year award. And I think that I will sound like a homer and extremely home field court or home field bias, home court bias. Like, the thing about the award every year is that it goes to somebody who was a flash in the pan that took something that wasn't supposed to be what it is and made it better.
And made it average, usually, right?
Dan Campbell's won this award. Kevin Stefanski's won this award multiple times. Deserved it last year, right? Flacco off the minivan carpool lane to almost being the number one seed in the AFC, legitimately.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Quinn is probably your leader this year in the clubhouse because of what he's done with the Commanders. We'll see without Daniels if they can continue to do that. Yesterday, like Max said, Mariota was good. That's a fact. It's one game for a team that planned against Daniels, not Mariota. We'll see if that continues for Marcus Mariota in Washington. But Andy Reid, if you take, and I love having this conversation today because it merits it, if you just said Mahomes would be 6 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, Isaiah Pacheco would be hurt, Hollywood Brown wouldn't play an offensive snap, Rashee Rice would get hurt in week, what is that, 4?
4.
And you had to go sign Kareem Hunt. And you just said, what do you think the Chiefs' record is?
6-0.
That's Bob Fesco. I think a lot of people would have said, if they're 500, if they're 3-3, I'd be thrilled. And I'm trying to speak from the normal person. Not saying you're abnormal, but I'm just saying, like, somebody would be like, oh, 3-3, and they don't have Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, Isaiah Pacheco, and Mahomes has those stats. Oh, man, 3-3, I'd love it. Oh, and by the way, Travis Kelce's doing this. But they're not.
Mm-hmm.
They're 6-0. And Andy Reid should be the front runner for Coach of the Year. And there's another reason why. Never in our lifetime, ever, I say never, will a defensive coordinator win Coach of the Year. But there's a strong-ass point that Steve Spagnuolo deserves Coach of the Year.
Well, it goes to the head coach.
And they can share that, where Andy Reid at the end of the day can be like, yeah, I won Coach of the Year, but this is mine and Spags' award. Because that defense is insane. Like, you look at the totals up there, 20 points allowed, 25 points allowed, 17, 10, 13, 18. Those are good offensive teams. Now, their combined opponents' record is 19 and 20.
Yeah.
You look at that overall, you're like, eh, but.
But that's the league.
But they've done this where we looked at the schedule ahead of time. We thought, man, get through the bye and get a win against San Francisco, which now Andy Reid, I think, is what, 22-4 after the bye? I think it was 20-4 or 21-4. Now he's, whatever, a win better and a loss not so much.
Right.
And Andy Reid has dealt with adversity, and they are still undefeated. In fact, they're the only undefeated team. So if the logic and the narrative of winning Coach of the Year is to do something that you're maybe not expected to do, to be 6-0 and have these many injuries on offense and your quarterback not be the quarterback that everyone expects him to be and your tight end is taking what we can all admit is a step back, There's no doubt in my mind that Andy Reid's the coach of the year. And if you think it's also because of Spags, then give it to Andy and let them be in the office together and say, this is our award. We both deserve this. Because, look, quarterbacks always win MVP,
mm-hmm.
right? I know the last one to not win it was Adrian Peterson, and he had to run for 2,000 yards.
Right, right.
You could argue that the defensive coordinator in Pittsburgh deserves coach of the year. Or that Mike Tomlin deserves Coach of the Year.
Tomlin could make the case for Coach of the Year winning with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields and sitting at 5-2. My God.
And arguably the toughest division in the AFC.
Right.
But this is one of those things where I think you have to take the old take off of like, oh, it belongs to Dan Quinn or it belongs to Kevin O'Connell. Minnesota was supposed to be good. Now they're doing it with Sam Darnold,
so I'll give him credit there. Yeah.
But Minnesota was a playoff favorite going into this year. They were good last year. Now they met without Kirk Cousins. They had a new change of quarterback. So Kevin O'Connell gets a lot of credit for what he's doing in Minnesota. I'm not against that. LaFleur, also credit. What he's done without Jordan Love being in, and with Jordan Love being in, they're now 5-2, massive division that they're winning. But Andy Reid, what he's done with the adversity they've had, deserves a little bit of credit in the conversation.
But you're also giving credit to guys for what you say we shouldn't be giving credit for. Like, you know, they took these situations and they made them better. Andy Reid continues to just truck along. And Andy Reid is not just the best head coach this year. He is the best head coach in NFL history. I think it's becoming clearer by the day that Andy Reid is the greatest head coach that this league has ever seen. And I will, again, go down with the ship on this one and say Andy Reid needs to be the coach of the year because he's doing it obviously with diminished, you know, resources on the offensive side of the football. But teams are so much more than just an offensive side of the football. But it seems like that's all we point the credit to. What they're doing on defense is just as impressive as what they're doing on offense because they're limiting the opposition. They're not allowing the opponent to score. They've got two games now where they've allowed over 20 points. Those are the first two games of the season. The Chiefs have not allowed over 20 points on defense, Dusty, since week two of the NFL season. We're now in week seven. Week two of the NFL season was on the 15th of September. We're on the 21st of October. So now we've gone 5 weeks where this organization has not allowed a defensive or an offensive team to score over 20 points.
Right.
That's where it all comes in. You know, you give Coach of the Year honors to Andy Reid. You give Assistant Coach of the Year honors to Steve Spagnuolo. But it's time that Andy Reid starts to, and I know he won't look at this as respect, but it's time that he does start to get the respect of these people who vote for Coach of the Year and realize, my God, Andy Reid every year wins. How many coaches consistently win every year? He's never been below 500 as the coach of the Chiefs. He's had one season below 10 wins as head coach of the Chiefs. He has more injuries that continue to mount up at key positions maybe than any other team out there, and they find a way to get it done. It's time Andy get recognized as the greatest coach that we've ever seen.
He's the Chiefs' all-time leading tackler and four-time Pro Bowler.
Eric Johnson picks it. He's up the right sideline, 30-yard line, 25, and down into Washington territory. Derek Johnson.
But to us, he's our forever linebacker.
I want to be battle tested. I want to go through some adversity. I want to go through some things where you say, oh, man, we got to figure this out.
Here's number 56, Derek Johnson with Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. Middle linebacker talk currently going on Fesco and Dusty. Community America Credit Union is what DJ is sponsored by here on Fesco and Dusty. Community American Credit Union member owner, open to all invested in you and also sheet metal workers. Local number two, as we welcome Derek Johnson to the show. Happy Victory Monday to you, DJ. And man, I'll tell you what, that defense really put Brock Purdy in a vice yesterday.
Yes, they did. I was smiling from ear to ear. When you go on the road, you got to stop the run, and you got to run the ball, and that's exactly what the Chiefs did. I'm so proud of our defense, big time. I mean, over the years we've given our offense so much deserving credit with Pat Mahomes and Kelce and what they have going on throughout the years. And I'm just telling you, the last couple of years, man, this defense has said, hey, we're superstars too. And once again, holding opponent to under 20 points, man, this is this is the best defense in the league, man, and they are playing on every single level for when it comes to the rushing the passer, getting after the quarterback, affecting the quarterback, and the back end, linebackers, the DBs. I mean, we play tough all over the field.
And Nick Bolton is starting to play really good now, too. He's strung together about a pretty good month. I thought yesterday he was spectacular playing that middle linebacker position.
Yeah, yes, he was. Yes, he was. He's got a knack for just staying alive, being able to be that center of the defense that's good in the pass game, good in the run game. He's just a super smart player. I keep forgetting how young he is, man. These players, the Chiefs are in great hands with guys like Nick.
DJ, I want to bring this up because I know that there's always a time in, like, probably a professional athlete's career where it's like, you know, did you ever dream of wanting to play for, you know, with this guy? Like, some people be like, oh, man, you know, like, I'm sure Dwayne Bowe at some point's like, man, I can only imagine what it'd been like to play with Patrick Mahomes as my quarterback. What would it be like for you to play with a Spags defense?
Oh, man. Oh, I would love it. I would love it, man. Just what he presents when it comes to exotic blitzes, being able to get after the quarterback. You know, on third down, he's coming on. He's showing something, making the quarterback think about what's going on. But, man, the Spags has got it going on. And he knows his defense well. They have an identity, and they are getting after it every single time. They're tough, man. They don't care what the offense does. Offense can mess up here and there. And I tell you what, the defense is like, oh, don't worry about it. We'll get the ball back. We'll intercept the ball in the end zone. We'll take points away. Man, that's a good feeling for everyone else on the team, coaches and offensive players.
I mean, even Tom Brady yesterday said that Spags is the bane of his existence. I mean, have we seen a coach in recent memory have this much impact on a game like Steve Spagnuolo and Andy Reid are currently having with this team right now?
No, not at all. Andy Reid should. I mean, it's a little early, but I mean, you talk about Coach of the Year. You talk about certain awards. Andy's name is at the top of that food chain, at the top of that list. And it's simply other than finding ways to win, being good on adjustments, but the defense. That's at the top of the list when you think about Coach of the Year. You think about how special this team is. You have to mention the defense first.
You do, and a lot of times in this league, we don't. We're talking about all the injuries that they have on offense, and Andy Reid is Coach of the Year, or they're not doing this on offense, but, man, they're still 6-0. I think, and for the last couple of weeks, I've been saying this, DJ, like, to talk about the offense missing players and them still being 6-0 is almost a disrespect to the defense, but for whatever reason in the NFL, we don't want to talk about great defenses in this league, but you know what? There's more and more of them each week, and the Chiefs and Steelers are probably 1-2 on top of the two best defenses right now in the NFL.
Well, it matters. It matters. Exactly what you said. It matters. And regardless if this is a defensive person talking, regardless if we don't get that credit, that defensive players are built a little different. We don't have to be divas or whatnot and get credit. We just go out and do our job when we're told to. And time will tell our story. Time will tell our story when it comes to at the end of the year, when it comes to playoff time, when it comes to big time football and what we've put together throughout the season. And I don't want to say we're peaking right now, but man, it's hard to be better than what we're doing, man. This is pretty amazing, especially with, man, just being able to get off the field on third down. That just gets Mahomes and gets Andy Reid and those guys an opportunity to score more, to figure it out, right? There are times where, when Pat threw the ball and somebody tipped it, a D-lineman tipped it and caught it, it's like that happens. We're not worried about that. We'll go back and get the ball back, and that's what they did.
When you watch this defense play, too, it always kind of seems that – and I know yesterday was kind of different, but – it seems like maybe I'm wrong here because, you know, obviously we're just blowhards that talk on the air and never played football professionally in our lives, never will. But it seems like almost like Spags lets you kind of show you what you want and then kind of sees your tells the rest of the, it's almost like a poker player sometimes. Is that kind of the vibe there? Like he kind of sees what you like to do and then immediately attacks it and makes you try to like adverb or tries to, you know, improvise what you can do after that. And at that point, you're just eating out of the palm of his hand.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. It seems like you watch a little ball, but
sometimes
that's exactly what he does. It's when you play in the NFL, everybody has a plan coming into the game. Hey, this is what we saw on film. This is what we're going to present to them. And then when you get in the game, it's like, oh, this is what they want to do to us. Now we got to change it up. And now Spags like, okay, y'all want to get in this formation and try to crunch us up or whatnot and not have us that get room. We'll play this defense on you. Now what you going to do? And now there's, through all that, they're searching like, oh, you know, what we're going to combat with now or counter with. And seems like they've been having a lot of success where teams cannot counter on the Chiefs because we are just kicking people's butts.
DJ, speaking of kicking people's butts, Kareem Hunt has been able to do that since he's come over here. And I said earlier that I think he's the most important addition that this team has now made this season, even more so than, you know, free agencies and the draft and all that. Kareem Hunt's been a huge difference maker for this team. They're not 6-0 without Kareem Hunt right now.
So true. So true. What a story. What an adverse situation early in his career to come back. Everything that's happened. He's been around the world a little bit, and now he's back. Home, I should say, and we need Kareem Hunt right now. We really do, and that's exactly right. He's a tough, crafty runner, different runner from any running back in the NFL. I'm not saying he's the best running back in the NFL, but he's a runner that's great for Andy's scheme when it comes to getting downhill, a lot of trap plays, a lot of gap scheme stuff, and sometimes he's all the way downhill. He never goes sideways. If he's going sideways, it's for 1 second, and he's getting his foot in the ground. So you talk about somebody that can run efficiently. He ran about three or four yards to carry yesterday.
Yeah.
And, I mean, 78 yards, tough runner, 22 carries. I mean, a couple touchdowns. I mean, he was smiling. I like to see Kareem smiling.
Keeping it more on the defensive side here, DJ, as we are talking to Derek Johnson, the former middle linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs. What complements the other more? The defensive line complements the secondary, or the secondary helps the defensive line?
Oh, that's a great question, man. Oh, I've seen both.
Yeah.
I've seen where defensive linemen get after the quarterback, and it's not good coverage in the back end, and the quarterback throws a bad ball or throws it up, and the defense and the defensive backs benefit from it. Mm-hmm. And I've seen the other way around where you say, man, we're covering up, you know, covering the receivers up, and the quarterback, you know, has 4 seconds to throw the ball, which is way too long, but still eventually the defensive line gets there. So it's a perfect marriage. It's the best marriage in football when you counter the or you put together the rush and the pass coverage, and they are working in harmony right now.
They really are, because they've got good players at every level. You got a Hall of Famer on your defensive line. You got an All Pro at your linebacker. You got All Pros at your, you know, defensive back position. Like, it really all works, and that's why when you see like Jalen Watson go down yesterday, you wonder like, man, how much of an impact is this going to have? What kind of impact is that going to have on this defense?
Well, by the way, everybody that stepped in to the defense, to the Chiefs defense, has balled out.
Yeah.
And I don't care the rookie free agent. I don't care who it is. They have an identity. They have a system that plugs and plays. And that's what you got to have in the NFL. Got to have depth. So hats off to Veach and just doing a great job out picking the right guys. I've been playing a while in the league, and every year it's not like that. You say, man, how did we miss on this? How did we miss on that guy? They're not missing at all. And Justin Reed is, man, he's at the top of that. He's at the top.
So do you think it's more important to get a wide receiver or a defensive back right now? If you could only get one, who do you go with?
I would go with you're talking about for the Chiefs?
Yeah, for the Chiefs, yeah.
Well, you have to go the receiver. Okay. You have to go receiver just because our defense is humming. We can on our hard hat, but we can put anybody in right now, and our defense is good, especially with Chris Jones and George Kalafdis getting after the quarterback. But we definitely need a receiver. I'm just thinking down the line we can win games still. That's obviously we pulled out a tough one yesterday, and it really wasn't as close as the score may seem, because we kind of impose our will on teams, and our number one receiver was great. You know, not to discredit Gray, he's great for us, but we can have another receiver. Yes.
Okay. Well, DJ, remember the Raiders? They mimicked Patrick Mahomes with a puppet, so that's their opponent this week. I pray for the Raiders this week, and I'm sure you will as well. So we appreciate that's right. We appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you next Monday.
All right, take it easy.
Derek Johnson there, presented by Community America Credit Union. Community America Credit Union member owner, open to all invested in you, and also Sheet Metal Workers local number 2. So he's team wide receiver.
Team wide receiver, yeah.
And he says, I apparently watched some ball. Mm-hmm. So take that text line. I'm just kidding. I love the text line. Haters or not, I love you all. I'm a lovable person. But no, I think he's... I mean, I really don't know that question. Like, is it the defensive line helping the secondary? Is the secondary helping the defensive line? I think it's like yes and yes on every other play.
I always go back to something Dick Vermeil said years ago when we were talking about defensive backs, and it was Barty and Warfield. And we're like, who are you going to start, Barty and Warfield? And Dick Vermeil's like, it doesn't matter. If we can't get anybody to get to the quarterback, we can have Deion Sanders in the defensive backfield, and it doesn't matter. And so I've always gone with, if you don't get pressure on the quarterback, to me, it doesn't matter how good your defensive backs are. So it starts up front. It really does. It sounds so elementary to me. Mm-hmm. But if you have, you know, the three of us on the defensive line, Trent McDuffie's not going to be an all-pro. I'm just going to tell you that right now. And those guys getting after the quarterback, Chris Jones, George Karloftis, you know, obviously Mike Dana was out this week, and he didn't get after the quarterback this week, but Turk Wharton and some of these other guys that you got on the defensive line, if they're not getting to the quarterback, those defensive backs back there are going to run around for hours, and eventually somebody's going to get open. So to me, I think it really does start on that defensive line.
It's my favorite segment of the show. Monday mornings, we get back to what was in the script, how wrong or right we were here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Right back in here on a Monday. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You can check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and put us on your TV.
Yeah, baby.
You can see this lovely lip cabbage I got rocking today.
Yeah, you look like Austin Wells over
there. The beard's, it'll come back. It'll be all right. It'll be fine.
I'd wait till it comes back. Like, I'd get rid of the mustache altogether and grow it all back as one.
No, I need some sort of, otherwise I get like carded for everything.
So, that's a good thing.
Snickers, gas.
Like, I got carded for canned air the other day. Did I tell you that?
Well, that's because there's a trend going on.
There is? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I need...
High schoolers are like basically doing whippets off of it.
Off of canned air? Like, okay, back in the day, whippets were, you know, never mind.
Yeah.
So I go to Target the other day because I need canned air for my
keyboards
phone.
And stuff?
No, my phone. Like, it wasn't charging and there was like a piece of dust in there, so I was going to get this canned air, right? And so I get up to the counter and the guy's like, I need your ID. I'm like, for what? He goes, they're hoofing it. I go, they're hoofing what? He goes, they're spraying it in the bag and they're hoofing it. And I'm like, oh, God. I said, it's canned air, man. Like, I'm a 47-year-old middle-aged father. Do you think I'm going to go home and hoof air?
Mac, who do you want to go first on the script?
Let's do...
Speaking of getting carded, that guy ought to get carded for everything.
Mac?
Yeah, look how young he is. I mean, he probably does get carded, right? Do you get, you still get carded?
Yeah, yeah.
From the sweet nectars of youth.
When I don't get carded, I'm like, hey, come on.
Yeah, right.
What the hell's going on?
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Exactly. Who do you want to go first, Dusty? You want to go first?
I'll do it, yeah.
All right,
ahead.
Let's do it.
I, like Bob, think San Francisco gets early points because the Chiefs always seem to give up a first drive touchdown or field goals. And then the Chiefs respond with points. And this game, It'll be Mahomes to many targets this game. I think this is one of those mini target games of Patrick Mahomes. I think seven different people have a reception. Kareem Hunt is big in this game, but it's not until the late third, early fourth. I look at this game as a let my starter get me to seven and let my bullpen clean it up. I think that Kareem Hunt can be that guy that you bring your closer in the eighth.
When was the last time a starter went seven in baseball these days?
Garrett Cole, game five, or game four, whatever it was. But no, I think that the Kareem Hunt gets big and gets going late into the third and then most of the fourth, and that's where you see a lot of his yards take over. I like this D-line to get at least 2.5 sacks total, with 95 getting at least 1.5 sacks this weekend. I also think this is another game where we see the Chimari Connors disguised Spagnola blitz late sack in the game against Brock Purdy, and I do believe the Chiefs win this game. I believe it's close till the end. 24-13, Chiefs beat the Niners.
Okay.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad. Shamari Connor was disguised as Trent McDuffie at one point, which is fine. You got the play right, you know, just the person wrong, but you knew it was coming, and you got seven targets. You know, there were seven guys that, you know, received a target that game, or a catch, I should say, in that game. Nine, I think, received targets, but you nailed that one, so that's pretty good.
I had the Chiefs 4 points shy, and I had the Niners 5 points shy. So 24-13, final score is 28-18. So not too much of a stretch for some homer Chiefs guy.
Not bad.
Who's next?
All right, so this game screams to me an Xavier Worthy breakout. So when we play this team, I feel like we've got a lot of motions, a lot of window dressing. Nick Bosa's looking one way, then the ball's going the other way. We're keeping him out of the game, right? We're keeping that defense thinking way too much.
So are the referees.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. All the holding that the refs didn't call, exactly. But who plays well against this team on the Chiefs historically? Well, Mecole Hardman. I think now that's going to be Xavier Worthy kind of filling in to that Hardman role. You know, jet sweeps, eye candy, a lot of speed in those motions. He's got at least 70 yards and a touchdown with one big play. And then Kareem Hunt, you heard it from Bob. I think he's going to have a nice day as well. We'll start the convo actually about what we do with him once Pacheco comes back. I think that's how well Kareem Hunt will look. And I think in a plot twist, the Chiefs' run defense looks maybe the worst it has, which is a damn high bar. But I think they're actually going to allow 70 yards on the ground, which isn't a lot. I just think they're actually going to get 70 yards allowed. Debo will have a good run. And Brock Purdy will throw a pick near the end of the game to Justin Reed. Chiefs win 24-20.
Some wrong. Justin Reed got a pick. You're right, but so what? He got a pick. You're right about the rushing yards, 101 yesterday for San Francisco. And you were wrong about Worthy. One attempt for five yards. That was it. No reception yesterday. Now, would have had a big play had Mahomes overshot him, right? That was the one at the start.
Did he stop running full speed, or did Mahomes actually overthrow a guy that runs a 4-2-1?
I think Mahomes, I'm going to say, because it's more impressive, Mahomes overthrew him.
I was just like, because that's the first thing in my head is like, did he really just overthrow him?
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah, he really did.
Are we ready for Bob?
Yep.
No.
Sunday. The 49ers will receive. They'll move right down the field. They'll grab an early lead. Whether it's a field goal or a touchdown, the 49ers will have an early lead. It will be one of two drives where the 49ers come away with points. Travis Kelce, still being compared to George Kittle for whatever reason, will have a good day. He'll get about 80 yards receiving and a touchdown. The star of the offense, though, Kareem Hunt. He will make the red zone offense finally click after the last 2 years of that red zone offense riding that struggle bus, man. Hunt will also get close to 30 carries in the game, as the Chiefs are trying to mask for that kind of lack of wide receivers at this point in time. Worthy will have one big play over 20 yards. Noah Gray will grab a red zone touchdown as well. And Chris Jones will come up with a late sack of Brock Purdy to ice the game for Kansas City as they move to 6-0.
Nailed it.
Pretty good, man.
Gray didn't have a touchdown. No. Chris Jones didn't come up with a late sack. I mean, those two don't count. They were 3-for-3 in the red zone. And Kareem Hunt only had 22 rushing attempts yesterday and 2 targets, 2 receptions, so 24. I said 30, so I was wrong in that one as well. But close. I mean, you know, Kareem Hunt with that red zone stuff, man, is just a game changer right now. We finally have that running back that is effective in the red zone. And it looks good. And it looks wonderful. And if that you know, improves their greatest weakness going into the season, I think, was red zone offense and short yardage. They sure as hell were able to fix that by going out and signing Kareem Hunt. But still lacking a little bit in that passing game. Patrick Mahomes not great yesterday, 154 yards and a couple of interceptions. Brock Purdy not much better, 17-31, 212 yards and three interceptions on the day. Just not a good day passing for either one of those quarterbacks yesterday.
I think at one point it was like 1-for-7 with like 12 yards.
Mahomes
like,
or Purdy?
Purdy, yeah. Deep into the second quarter. Now, Mahomes is hitting like Noah Gray early. Like, Noah Gray, we need to get him into the script at some point.
Yep.
Yeah, 6 rushing touchdowns yesterday. Yeah. No passing. It's nope. Crazy.
That's crazy. That's nuts. Yeah, and in a league that predicates itself as this passing first league, right? Running the football
each quarterback had a rushing touchdown. Right? Purdy,
yeah,
had,
Purdy
one
had 2.
Year.
Yeah, yeah, right.
He had 2.
Yeah.
Mahomes had 1. Kareem had 2.
Mm-hmm.
Wild.
Yeah, crazy.
I mean, look, Stack wins early.
Yeah. And you see what's coming up on the schedule now for the Chiefs, right? Like, everybody's talking about what's going to happen with the Chiefs and whatnot. They've got some of the worst defense or offensive teams coming up on their schedule. You've got the Raiders this weekend. They're no good, right?
But then it's Tampa and Buffalo.
But then it's Tampa, and then it's Buffalo. But after that, then you got Denver, and you got Carolina. You got the Raiders again. Like, you know, I saw a stat this morning that the Chiefs have the 22nd toughest schedule going down the stretch. That means they're pretty much near the bottom, right? They don't have a tough schedule going down the stretch. So they can go out there and assert their will early in these games, knock some of these bottom feeders out, and not have to go you-know-what to the wall in the second half of these games, kind of ease back a little bit, let your defense take over. So you've got yourself setting up nicely with the schedule. You're right, Tampa Bay is in there. We're going to see a lot about Tampa tonight, I think, on Monday Night Football, and then Denver after that. So 2 of your next 3 are division rivals, but this division, for all intents and purposes, is over as well.
Yeah, tomorrow officially starts Raider Week as we get into all the puppet scenarios and the Kermit the Frog. I really want to go to Wednesday's press conference. So I just want to ask about the puppet.
Yeah.
We'll address it when it comes up. Was that what he said?
It'll get handled when it gets handled.
It'll get handled.
It'll get handled on the field on Sunday. Like, I'm sure Kermit may be sitting on the bench.
Bigger blowout than Commanders over Carolina.
Hard to tell this weekend because of the injured players. If we were 100% healthy, I would say this is a 40 burger easy for the Chiefs against the Raiders. But with Hollywood Brown out and Pacheco out and, you know, Rasheed Rice out, I mean, that's 3 big offensive weapons that they were counting on. Because I know this was the game that was circled by the organization when the schedule came out. This was the game that everybody was looking forward to. And okay, we're going to, you know, make amends. And oh, and then they did the Kermit the Frog thing on top of it after last year's Christmas Day game. This was going to be a blow your jets out type of game. It still may be a blow your jets out type of game, but it's not going to be done with the playmakers that they thought they were going to have at the beginning of the season before anybody got hurt on this team.
And they ruined your damn Christmas last year.
They really did. Yep.
Darn it. Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Text line's been wishy-washy today over the win. I think I'm going to make a statement on the other side that's going to get a lot of more people against what I have to say, but you might have to start believing it whether you like it or not. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, you are listening to 96.5 The Fan, and it is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.